It's a girl at three, can't sleep at all. He's overrated. If you told me,
Lord help me.
Where are you putting that in? Just tell me to play it when you would put it in.
I have to mute everybody.
I have to mute everybody when I do it.
Okay, glue that.
Wait, I'm confused though.
Duh. Just record it. Okay,
let's won't
just,
be a problem.
Let's just start. I'd like to go home sometime tonight.
No, no.
Hey.
Hey, we're the ones who drive.
Yeah, I know. You'd like to go home sometime tonight.
I've had 4 hours sleep.
I'm sorry.
I had 11.
I've had 7.
Okay.
I had about 7.5.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
Logan.
Today, we're going to be reviewing iRobot by Isaac Asimov. Yeah, that's where you drop that music.
Right after you say Isaac Asimov?
Yep.
That's so right. Wow. That does not fit at all, does
You'll
it?
Just put that in. Just edit that in. It's a quarter to three, can't sleep at all. He's so overrated. If you told me to jump, I'd take the fall. And he wouldn't take it. All that you want Sunday.
As you can tell by the intro, we have a new category with our podcast. We're going to be starting reviewing music albums, and April's going to be
Woo!
Doing that for us. She is
so fun.
Help us.
Her first one to review is One Direction's album. However, she came about this not the traditional way that all the other kids did. And April, we'll let you take it away and explain how you came across them.
One Direction is they've just debuted in America in like 2011. I've known about them since 2010 from YouTube because they were on the X Factor in Britain.
Ah, okay.
And they auditioned as solo groups, but they got grouped together at Simon's Beach House, and they came up with the name One Direction because it sounded cool when the guy said it to introduce them. And they took third place, but they've become probably the biggest hit from the X Factor.
Hey, do you want to see how big we are? Simon Cowell, if you're out there, call us. There you go.
They don't even have a phone number.
Email us for the phone number.
You can Skype in. All right.
And it's a British-Irish boy band. Boy band. Screw you guys.
I've made no comment. Yes.
Like, I know.
She did not mean that for the audience.
I know it's a boy band, and personally, I'm not a big fan of them either. Like, because when I was a kid, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, blah, blah, blah. I can't
All
remember
for
any
one.
Others.
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Getting a little older there. But,
and,
yeah.
But like,
you just dated yourself. Very
honestly,
bad.
I don't think they have any talent whatsoever, and they can only dance crappily. But. One Direction
Crappily.
Doesn't.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
But One Direction.
UrbanDictionary.com.
One Direction doesn't dance mainly. They just sing, and they actually can sing. You know, they don't have to have a recording to do it all for them.
Are you saying they don't
wow.
lip sync?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. How do you know?
YouTube. Are you? No, no. You go on there, look up their performances, and you can tell. If you listen to album enough times as I have, and you go listen to a live concert, you can tell a difference.
If I took the voice to this podcast and slightly changed the timing, it would look like we were lip syncing everything or talking a different language and finally getting the English translation.
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Pitch. Retard. God.
You can see pitch on a video.
She's really determined to make this.
You hear pitch.
Yeah.
You're uneducated.
No.
Very much so.
Mr. Just, Music Major.
Go on with
exactly.
your review. Come on.
No, yeah, but
I can
so
understand what you're saying.
They
Chris should be enjoying this.
Oh, I have. All, I can go ahead. It's I'll give you as hard as time as possible because this is about the only subject I can give you a hard time about.
It's a group of five boys. It's Zayn Malik, Liam Payne, Harry Styles, and Louis Tomlinson.
Are those real names?
Yes.
Harry Styles?
Yeah.
I thought of it that way. Good call, Chris.
He has curly hair, too, and everything. It's okay. Beast. But, and they're, those four are British, and then there's Niall Horan, who is Irish.
Do you wonder why they don't sing in their accent?
Well, no one
really
does.
A lot of people
does.
Lose their accents, though, when they sing.
Like, when British and Asian people and Canadian people sing.
Go ahead.
They have an American accent when they sing.
Oh, they get American accent while they sing.
Yeah, they okay. talk exactly like we talk normally, but they're singing.
That's fine.
I agree with her on that one. I have to say.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you listen to Paul McCartney, and I can't tell an accent.
Nope, I don't know why. I just know they do.
You got to have a really
Chris could probably let us know why.
No, I just want to know where she came up that it was an American accent that everybody else gets when they sing.
I don't know. Go on. What
well,
else you got?
Listen to them.
Well, a neutral okay. accent, then the I guess you would say a neutral yeah. accent.
Actually, you know what? I saw a study on the different accents in a different part of America.
There
of
so
the,
many
of the main
ones.
48 states. They say the people from central Kansas and Nebraska have the least amount of any of the accents.
They're neutral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
They're boring, basically.
Okay, yep. So we're boring. Go on. Yes.
We're not central Kansas.
Kind of.
Southwest.
Okay, go on with your review.
Okay, well.
Being good.
God. They were the, what was it? They're the fastest selling debut album for the UK. Pretty beast. Mm-hmm. And
is that United Kingdom or Ukraine?
UK is United Kingdom.
You are just really laying it on, Chris.
I repeat this, uneducated. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty plain.
That's like his tractors.
It's worse than his freaking tractors.
That was from the Hitchhiker's review, for all you out there.
No, and then when they debuted in the U.S., they debuted at number one, and they are so far the first and only United Kingdom group to do that. Like, even the Beatles didn't come out at number one.
Cool.
So, yeah, they're up there with the Beatles.
Must be a lot of happy teen girls.
The, what was it, that the British Awards?
Speaking to your mic, sir.
Sorry, I'm bad. Let me turn this.
The Brit Awards, they took, what was the category?
Give me a momento.
We got our
You
notes.
Have notes, too?
He does.
Yep,
sticky
do.
Notes. Literally, he has notes.
Where'd it go, April?
I don't know. I didn't take it.
They took an award. Okay, so they took an award.
Did. I think it was like best debut album or best new group, whatever. I don't care. They took home the award, and they beat a lot of singles.
Speaking to your mic, sir.
He's not even close to
it. It was habit.
Yeah, he wasn't even close to it.
I wasn't
He's
got
to get out his other set of notes. What else you got on him?
We're just spreading the grief around, aren't we,
Matt? Are you good?
There we go. It's at the Brit Awards for 2012, they won for Best British Single. Just to give you some names and that they went
don't
up against.
Don't say that first one, because I'm going to review him.
Well, you have to.
I don't care.
Just give us the
don't
category.
Okay, I'll give you a few names.
You guys
there.
Got this off of Wikipedia.
Duh.
No, I watched the segment on YouTube for the British
so did
Awards.
I. Oh.
Cool. Adele's Someone Like You. Most people know that one. Jesse J, Price Tag. Most people would know that one pretty good. Ed Sheeran, The A-Team. Most people would know that one here in the U.S. But the one that they won for was what they debuted with was What Makes You Beautiful.
And that isn't that the first song on their CD?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like their staple song, you know? You hear that song.
I've actually heard that one played on clips of it played on television
no,
shows.
I haven't heard.
There's also at least one of their songs that's on the radio.
I've heard them on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't listen to much radio, so I couldn't tell you.
How old are these kids?
Okay.
I call them kids. They might be adults.
They're not. They are adults. They're Liam is 18. Niall is 18. Louis is the oldest. He's 20. Harry's 18. And Zayn is 19.
Okay, so they're all
so
in
they're
early,
like young adults. Like
late teens, early
yeah.
20s.
Because they still
20s.
Look like teenagers. But
yeah, they look very young.
Yeah.
Well, at least two of them are teenagers.
Yes, we know.
Oh, technically true. They
they're
have 19 teen in the 19.
Are teenagers.
Oh, well. 19. Yeah, 18 adult age, whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently only one of them isn't.
And one of the things is when, of course, I watch most of this on YouTube, but they had some live performances, and they're not the typical boy band, which you would think.
They don't have choreography.
No.
They just stand up there and sing.
They just stand up there and sing.
Actually, I saw an interview where they were all sitting on stools just singing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They'll do the natural walking on the stage. Yeah,
they're just a voice.
So that kind of surprised me. I figured, oh, we're going to get dancing, but no.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but they have a tour scheduled.
Uh-huh. They've already had
They're just going to sit up on stage and that's not entertaining.
The way they do it, they they kind of like jump around, walk around. But when it's not their part, because they switch parts and everything, when it's not their part, they'll goof around with another bandmate. Like one time, an audience member gave Liam a Nerf gun and he started shooting it at Louis when he was singing. And they'll go up to the audience on stage and like sing to them and like take stuff.
It's a typical performer that doesn't do the dance. They just sing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know one. Right. I know one other sort of band that did that. The Three Tenors. Oh my God, people!
I've never heard of them.
I was trying not to laugh at that, Chris. I really was.
And we're griping about
that
One
like
Direction.
That sounds like a classic group.
Duh.
I abstained from the rest of the review.
No.
Rest of the review.
But what was it? You would kind of like in the vein, like I said, it's like April said, they were individuals that were used to singing on their own, just being the individual performer. They would do the natural thing that came on stage.
And then they stuck them in a band.
And then they just stuck them together. So they don't know any of this choreography, and it would probably be too time consuming to teach them, so they're just saying just get up there and sing because they got the looks, they have the voices, so hit it now and get the money.
They're not a typical boy band in the way of their performances.
I like how they're each so different in their own ways that you can distinctly pick them out, but they fit together. Like with the group The Wanted, who came out around the same time, they have distinct looks and everything, but they do not look like they go together at all.
I've not heard of The Wanted.
Well, look them up because I like their music. I don't like them.
Maybe you can review them next podcast.
I don't want to.
That sounds like I like them.
No, I want to focus on the lower, the
not so popular,
less famous people. Because One Direction, I wanted to review them.
They're pretty famous now.
Before they got famous. I was already planning on reviewing them, so I'm like, I'll just go through with it anyways. It's the first one.
And they'll probably be more popular by the time
I don't have to tell people about Lady Gaga's new song.
Everybody knows who that is.
Lady Who?
they already know her.
Well, I can tell you, I took the CD, played it for my wife and my daughter, who is 11, and she liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it doesn't
I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm just not a want to listen to boy band.
I don't mind boy bands if they're good.
And they're not bad at all. I did enjoy their music. It was good sounding music. So.
And they have a little bit of a variety. It's not just bebop type stuff or pop stuff.
I got
Do they write their own music?
Extent. Most of the songs are written for them, but I don't think that matters because I can't write a single thing. I mean, I like to sing, but I can't write worth a crap.
And there's hundreds of performers that
do that.
Don't write.
But also...
No. I'm not... Nothing against them.
Well,
I'm just curious.
I'm just saying,
they,
to my knowledge, they're
working on their new album right now, and they're kind of putting the guys into it, giving them more chances to write the lyrics and everything, so they're having more freedom with that.
Because that was Simon's thing in what was the America's Got Talent? What was that the show before
something like that?
Because that was all about that was part of the competition was you had to write something original.
I remember that. But see, I don't think there's a big deal with that. If you believe in the music, it doesn't matter if you wrote it or not.
Why don't we do a drop of one of the songs that April picked? Just a short drop.
Moments. You know I'll be your life.
You talked right over the end.
You suck.
I had him muted.
I didn't say a thing.
Oh, okay.
She was singing, and he said 26 seconds.
Stop
and
counting,
I was just
Logan.
Going.
You're not the YouTube counter. I don't think you.
I was looking at you.
Person.
I didn't mean you. I was just talking into my mic. You just ruined my music. You messed up my drop.
I'm trying to review this band, and you're talking.
Hey, if that
it?
Drop is okay with you, keep going.
You want to let him drop it again or go?
Fine with me. I don't care.
Just go.
It's your show, Richard.
Yeah, we're all co-hosts.
But so you can tell.
No, you're the producer.
Yeah.
Creator, producer.
But you can tell that they're not. They don't always make like the happy, upbeat songs. They have. Oh,
they're not like Adele, where they just talk about bitter
Adele.
Breakups all the time.
She should get over herself. No, but so.
Wow. Adele, if you're out there, her email address is admin@comicpoplibrary.com.
She's not the only one that gets her heart broken. God.
Wow. She has a really opinionated
I think Adele can just suck it up, really.
Okay, no, back to review. Come on.
So,
come on track.
But they can also do melodies, too.
Adele
like,
fans are going to hate you.
I don't care.
But the harmonies, you heard some of the harmonies. I like the harmony with that.
They harmonize well together. I'm not going to say they're
it, and that's
they
not
good.
A traditional song for a boy band. There's
You know, talent, I want to say vocal talent is best tested a cappella.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Because I can make us all sound really good.
Oh, true.
Except for April.
Shut it. No, but I like how on the first song, like when I was listening, because I know kind of like the guy's backgrounds, when I was listening, I could pick out songs that were meant for them.
The individual person.
Yeah. Like I was like, yeah, that song fits this guy. That's why he's singing more. That this one fits. This right. is his personal song. So I think they tried to make a song for that one person, and then they had some other fillers that were for the whole group.
Like I said, I liked them.
Sense,
I thought there's
some reason it seemed like wasn't more focused on romance.
You're gonna have to say that again and say it clear.
That would probably make sense, but for some reason it seemed like most of them were focused on romance.
No dip.
Most songs are though.
Well, they're a bunch of horny teenagers. What? How's that different about you?
True.
What else are they gonna write songs about?
Heartbreaks.
Romance.
Just be glad they're not singing their own writing.
Divorce. Whatever.
Well, some of the songs, I mean, I went through each song and found out what I liked about them. But
people want to hear
you
what
like
you hated
about
them.
The Save Tonight was pretty much a pop. That's pretty pure and simple.
I liked it because
I like the different
Superman.
Styles. Yeah, there's Superman in it.
Yeah. Not very neutral.
That's why it's one of my favorite songs. I'm like, oh, this is Dad's song.
If you're going to be a fanboy and write reviews, then...
Not really
They have, like,
boy.
You know how Lady Gaga has her monsters? They have Directioners.
Directioners?
I'm not one. Yeah. I'm just a fan, but they're like... No, they're
so you
no,
admit it.
No, no, there were fans of One Direction, and then there were the hardcore, like write a freaking blog and website, and
like
we love One Direction thingy.
Hey, what's wrong with
no,
blogging?
No, they do it for like. They do it for their life, like, holy crap. And they're called Directioners.
Been part of my life for 2 years
They
now.
Scare me.
So what are you, Richard? Was
I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place. But get back to some of the different, I like the different formats. I don't know, Chris, if you listen to them, if you can recognize these.
They're no different than any other
Let
pop
him
boy
talk.
Brand. Sorry.
Well, what I listen to is the different styles. Like, Stole My Heart, I felt was more of an electro dance type feel to it. Taken was a slow, slower song.
Power ballad.
I'm a... I want and
that
I
is
want...
a Michael Bublé song all the way. Like that is exactly who I think of when I hear that song. It's Michael Bublé.
The song
awesome.
I want has a lot of piano mixed in with the guitar, and it sounds more like a soft rock blend. When the chorus comes in, it's more of a pop, but the verses is more of a soft rock. And Gotta Be You, they put in violins. How many rock groups or pop groups actually put in different instruments now?
Metallica
Skillet.
Isn't a pop group, but that would be the
well,
most challenging.
Any type of group then. Really, I mean,
there,
used to
a
in
few.
The 80s,
oh,
you would hear a
time.
Lot of all the different
Bohemian
instruments
Rhapsody.
Come in.
Right.
Well, you're talking about violins. Have you ever listened to Skillet? They're a Christian rock band.
I don't
you
like them because I can't understand them.
And right. they have violin and stuff like that in some of their songs.
Okay. I think the
so
thing
I think it's becoming a more popular thing.
Yeah, I don't like how today you hear a lot of it's all on the mix board. Like it's no actual instrument. It's all recorded.
You know what?
Mixed around.
It's a lot cheaper to play one engineer music than it is five band members.
But I don't care because
True.
It's not
No, that's why
real.
They're going to that. And
economy cheaper.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I sang for this guy.
I
I'm holding up a
that
picture.
Cool.
That's too bad. he's a good singer. He's been
educated.
Singing a very long,
very
time.
Long time.
He has a drummer and two keyboardists.
That's cool.
In his whole six-piece band. Irritated the crap out of me as being a music major.
But the majority of the songs are pretty much pop with when they do it's kind of like a mixture. Mm-hmm. It'll be one style, and then the chorus would come in.
And it would be like,
because one of them almost sounded like a folk song to me, but then the chorus came in and was just reverted back to pop.
Which one was that?
I was going to say, this rant brought to you by.
Yeah. More than this, I felt more like a ballad. I'm trying to find that one that felt
that
like
a good song. Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Here it is. The one we did, The Moments. To me, during the verse, it sounded like more of a folk ballad. And then when it got into our soft rock, and then when it got into the chorus, it felt more like a pop. Na 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 sounds like a 50s song until they get to the chorus. Then they kind of revert back to the pop, the roots that they have. So they're kind of mixing and matching.
You know, every song you've mentioned, she said, that's a good song. That's a good song. I don't think she hated any of the songs on the CD.
For your information, Na 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 is not on the CD.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's actually just a song they sing. Like,
it's probably a single song.
This one-sided review brought to you by...
It's not on the CD. It's,
no.
But it's still
you guys
good
have voices.
I'm voicing my opinion. I said they weren't bad. And, you know, they appeal to, I guess, anybody that likes that style of music.
Which would be your younger generation.
Younger generation. Yeah. You know, the older generation. No,
there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
no.
I don't care if 70-year-olds like him.
Bless you.
This sneeze brought to you by
not sneezing mic.
I listened to them a few times, and what I got from them is fairly repeating lyrics and
that's popular.
A lot
nowadays
of romance.
Finally,
stuff.
Some criticism.
And that's true. And I have to admit.
Then I promptly forgot about just about every single bit of it.
Then you forgot about every single bit of it. And it's confession time. You know, I like the upbeat songs. I like, you know, just bobbing and going. And so
it's a feel good song.
I have a pretty eclectic taste. So
I can like anything.
Hey, come on. On my
good
iPod, I have
everything. I will listen to Tupac all the way to Filter. So
I just won't listen to the.
And I like the three tenors.
I won't listen
just
to
in case
the
wasn't clear earlier
groups that scream like raw. I don't like
the,
those.
The high, the really hardcore heavy metal.
They don't
heavy
sing.
Metal.
They scream and screech.
So we all have probably a pretty good eclectic taste.
Usually people who listen to those have rage issues.
Those groups scare me. So. Like, I heard this one group, White Veil Brides. I heard, like, they were all good, so I looked them up. I, like, looked out of them after, like, 10 seconds because they were scared the crap out of me. I was going to die.
Just listening.
Well, when April introduced me to these, she... What was it? What song did you introduce me to that one?
One Thing.
One Thing. And she showed me...
What?
No.
That's being
no,
a smart
no, Richard's
aleck
doing this again.
Oh. When April first introduced the band to me, or the group, I guess they're not really band. I don't know if they play instruments or not.
No, it'd be a group.
They don't really. The only one who's actually learned an instrument is Niall, and he plays the guitar. And on One Thing, you do see him in the video.
Quartet.
Play his guitar. He plays his guitar. And then in the new album, they're bringing that more into focus, too.
Are they quintet? Is there four or five?
Five.
So they're a vocal quintet.
Pretty much.
But they have instruments in the background.
Right.
So that's what makes them a band.
But the One Direction, I watched the video that they did on YouTube, and what first popped into my head watching the video was they reminded me of the Monkees, because the Monkees like to have fun with
their
videos.
They scratch their armpits and eat bananas?
Yes.
Wrong. Wrong, well. Monkees.
Yes, the, what was that, 60s TV
oh,
show?
Yeah.
Or,
hey, we the Monkees.
Yes. But they had fun with their, and they started out not being able to do anything and eventually learned how to play their instruments. But they had fun with their music. They interacted with the public a little bit more than others, where that video kind of had the same elements. And I kind of see them in their performances. They're not necessarily interacting per se,
you're
but it's more
it
of
sounds
a
like you're
scene
describing, the Nickelodeon boy band.
Big Time Rush.
Oh, Big Time Rush.
They suck. Oh, they cannot.
There's
they
a review I want to hear.
They cannot sing worth
there's
crap
a review I want to hear.
Them, any of those Nickelodeon artists, I do not like. They are so fake. If they start out acting, they better stick to acting because they can't sing.
That's, wow.
That's the kind of reviews I like listening to.
There's a
bing! An April.
You got a zinger in there, Chris?
We are not making fans with Nickelodeon.
Do not like them.
Friends with Nickelodeon.
What? They're raising the little random kids to like that stuff, too.
That's true. You know what? No, that brings up a good point because a lot of kids watch Nickelodeon. Yeah. So our kids
they're
are
like
going to grow grow up liking that stuff, so they're going to look forward to it
when it's not real music.
It's all your marketing, to me. It is. I mean,
so fake.
Like I said, it's not to me. It's one that, let's let April do this. Who will it appeal to?
The little queens, like 12, 10.
What will this?
This.
What will?
One Direction.
Wait, who are we talking
One Direction.
About?
One Direction.
Are we talking about? Oh, One Direction. They'll, like, of course, the tweens.
I would say older teens.
Yeah.
But not so. Tweens.
No, I think.
My daughter's a tween, and she liked them.
Yeah, like, it depends on how old they are. Like, early tweens, no, like, late tweens to.
11, 12-year-old.
Yeah, to young adult. Like, I think a younger 20-year-olds would like them, because it's good music.
And most of us in our past have, you know, a confession time, like I said before, I've enjoyed the boy bands. I'd like some
I like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
I mean, I don't like
NSYNC.
You don't like everything by every artist, but you like some pieces here and there.
I did like Backstreet Boys, but I like even better what came out of the breakup, because I really like Justin Timberlake.
NSYNC.
That was NSYNC.
Was it NSYNC? Okay.
Yes, it was.
He was on the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah, he was.
With Britney Spears.
And Christina Aguilera.
So if the libraries have a music collection, this would be one that would probably
Or thinking
not
about getting it, starting a music collection.
Like, I think
probably not.
Fly off.
I think it would be really smart to start a music collection in your library, because I really want a lot of CDs, but they are way too expensive. Like, I'm not going to waste
Would you
money.
Rather have it in a media format like a CD, or would you rather have MP3 format?
I don't see how they could do an MP3 format.
They're doing it with audiobooks.
Yeah.
But how do they do
that,
MP3
it might be,
format? I don't
that might
that.
Be a new It might be a new trend with music, too. I don't know how that's going
to that have to be worked out
down
with
the road.
Like community.
Well, there's a lot of competition for the digital format, because you can just go to YouTube and look these guys up.
Yeah.
But you can't listen to all of their songs, because they have well-known songs that are on like the YouTube search list, but then there were those filler songs, which I personally like. I usually like the filler songs more than their staple songs, because they're just good songs. Like, so, but people don't get to hear those songs because they're not the ones on the first page of YouTube. Nobody goes through the pages. Oh, who has that much time, losers? You
Wait,
know life.
This is the pages of comments on the YouTube videos, right?
No, the other list of videos
search
and songs.
She's talking, she's talking about how search
like
results
this,
are tailored.
If you like this, you might like this over here on the side.
But usually they just go to like videos and reviews and interviews.
And for libraries that don't have the collections, like April said, if you're looking to start it, this would be great. And in a sense, we do that with the books. We've already breached that with movies and TV series. Most libraries, some of the bigger ones, do already have collections. That's a given. But and I know some libraries that check out artwork.
You know what? There is one drawback having a music collection, and that is stuff comes out so quickly that it's hard to
keep up with it
because of budget constraints mainly.
Yeah. See, I think
But at the same time, look at how many books are published a year.
Well, it depends on what your library focuses in on as far as what materials are bought first.
I think libraries that start it should start on like just an average popular, like not popular to this certain group, but just, you know, the broad spectrum popular, and then some older music for the adults maybe. But and then once they really got it started and it's got picked up pace and everything, and you're going good, like I'm going to review underground artists mainly, and so they should start looking into the underground artists and try to get them
some
more
of those mixed in
brought up after they get it started and everything.
One other problem we've had one other problem to worry about is also digital theft. No, we're not the police, but it happens.
But again, we have audiobooks and DVDs,
and they do those too.
You have the same worries.
So I think if you can do that MP3 thing, which I don't know how you could, but if you can do it, go ahead. But
and that could possibly be what comes down in the future, because like Chris said, our state of Kansas is definitely into the digital downloads right now with the e-books and the audiobooks. So
I'd say it's like, I don't know how you could do that though.
If you want to do it without the digital theft, if you can find a rather unique charger or a padlock case that covers the back of it,
that'd be the front line theft.
Right.
Battery pack instead of a charger.
No, the only way to really combat digital theft is DRM.
Yeah.
But that could be broken too, unfortunately. Right. But that's now the
digital
only
theft
way.
Is copying it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Block off all its access to computers and you cannot copy it.
It's kind of hard to do with today's technology.
You're talking to two different IT people and you're getting looks from both of them.
Going. Really? Here, you can have the CD, but you cannot play it in your computer.
Logan will find a solution to anything you give him. It just won't be plausible in any way, shape, or form.
There's always a solution. Can you do
it? But it will work for him.
I was talking about the media thing, like the MP3 stuff that I think you might have been thinking
of. I kind of know what you're thinking of when some of the computer programs have a, you know, it recognizes the IP address and it only worked for that certain computer.
Yeah, some technology like in that aspect. But yeah.
But again, that could be broken. And
talking about literally stuff from access.
Since I'm on the roll with it, this library tip brought to you by...
Keep going.
But we definitely have a mixed review. Is there anything else you want to mention, April?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Which one do you like?
I like Niall.
Okay. Had to ask.
Oh, I can tell you some things about him.
Oh, there
no,
you go.
We're good. Really, we're good.
No. Their personalities are so weird. Like, okay, so.
Chris, open the door.
God, I hate you, Chris.
Hey, the twin girls follow boy bands because there's someone in particular they like in the band.
Niall. No, I like all of them, honestly. Just Niall's one of my favorite. Shut up. All right, I'm trying to discuss their personalities here. Okay, Liam, he is... Stop. No, but okay. I've got to tell you these things because it makes them unique. Like, holy crap, who... Okay, so Liam...
Yeah, I've seen two people that were exactly the same before.
No. Liam, he has a he has two turtles, and one of them like ate the other one's foot.
I'm glad to know that.
No, and he loves them, and he's afraid of spoons. Who's afraid of spoons?
Why do we need to know this?
Who's afraid of spoons? Come on, tell me.
And why does anyone care?
Tell me.
And now for iRobot.
With drunken robots and cult robots.
Niall's the only one with blue eyes.
And she says she's not like that fanboy thingy.
I'm not.
And holy cows.
No, she's that fangirl thing.
No, okay.
There you go.
Okay, the fangirls, because like, I have a friend on Facebook who likes all these One Direction pages and everything. So I see a post that says she likes this. And so I'll read it, you know. And it's about, they know exactly where they're at, what hotel they're staying in. They know what their tour details are. They know how to get all this stuff. They know how to get all this merchandise. You know, there's this little baby who's hanging around with the guys now. It's not one of their kids or anything. Like, I don't know.
Just some random baby they picked up off the street.
I don't know. People are calling her baby Lux, and I've never heard of her, honestly. So, and they're so obsessed with her. They know two of them have girlfriends. They know who they are, what they do. They're stalkers.
And that happens with pretty
and
much
they scare
any,
the,
that's any
no, but they scare the crap out of me. So I'm glad I'm not like them.
Yeah. Like, you aren't a fan, you're a thingy. You just get the overflow from one.
It's like, yeah. It's like, I know stuff about One Direction, but...
That's because you're getting the overflow from
fans, like,
not actually being a fan.
All right, and that does it for One Direction, I believe. I think that's all April had.
I hope so.
Any more?
Well...
No, just go on. Richard, don't ask. Just go.
Zane has
Richard.
Tattoos and smokes.
They are human.
Harry and Louis have a bromance going on, and Louis loves carrots. And they, during the X Factor...
And she's
where did
not
you
a
find
fan?
This information? I'm just curious.
They're video diaries from the X Factor. Duh. You never watched X Factor before?
Hey, can we go
actually,
on?
No.
No, on the British X Factor, they can do video diaries from the contestants. Up to a certain point, they'll start doing video diaries. And on the first one, Louis said that he likes girls who like carrots. And ever since, all these girls have sent him millions of carrots. Like, that's the only thing he gets now from girls and everything is carrots.
God. Okay, and we're going to end her off at that one there. April's going to be doing more reviews for us in the music industry. She is going to try to keep it to the lesser-known artists. Like she said, One Direction, when she actually did find them, weren't as popular as they are today. Mm-hmm. A lot of these acts will probably be indie, underground, foreign artists.
Foreign. Very foreign.
So we'll look forward to more of her views in the future. And now let's hear from Dot City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. Next up is Chris with iRobot by Isaac Asimov.
I'm going to give you so much crap about this book.
And you read like two pages.
Exactly.
Can you name the three laws of robotics?
What?
Name the three laws of robotics.
You must not harm a human. You must obey humans.
You have
you
to
must
eat oil.
Survive.
Yes, very good.
Holy crap. Got him.
Okay, and that's our review for our robot.
You just okay. Have to list them off. All right, Logan will do it for you.
Okay.
Paraphrased. It's not
so. Somehow, I believe this book was meant to be, again, just like in The Thing, the short story, a sort of mental experiment on what life would be like if robots could sort of think on their own or solve problems on their own.
More like what life would be like if what problems robots could have with AIs.
That, right.
What are AIs?
Not the life in general, but the robots.
Ask your brother.
Artificial intelligence.
There you go.
Have you read the
Don't look at me like
series?
I'm retarded. Since,
so, and I'm not going to go chapter by chapter. Well, maybe I need to. Because each one has its own little...
I thought they were short stories.
Yeah, that's
they
what the
kind
chapters
of are.
Were.
Yeah. So, but I don't want to... I read the first four, but that's all
this
I'm going
to... This is the book you're
here's
reviewing.
The thing.
I listened to the whole album.
This is going to be one of those.
Okay. So now... Okay. The first chapter, a little girl basically falls in love with her robot as she would a human.
Awkward.
You would know.
Is he like that?
She basically goes through a grieving process and then decides that she's going to take an opportunity for a vacation to New York that her parents want to take her on to kind of get away from her home or whatever where she was in love with this robot. Decides to take the opportunity to go for a search. Well, mom hated Robbie. Dad was sort of sympathetic to the little girl. And they sort of set up a reuniting at a robot factory. And that's how that ended.
How old is
she? And I'm pretty
she?
Sure
Isn't
there's
she
a...
Little?
More yeah. Detailed story of that same thing.
I paraphrased.
Seriously.
I know, but I'm talking about something completely different from in the book, too. Almost exact same thing, except they learn about the intelligence thing instead of throwing them away, then learning about it.
I don't know. But isn't she, like, little? Because that's...
Yeah, this is the little
isn't
gal.
Isn't she, like, a freaking toddler?
No.
No.
That's what I thought.
I'd say about nine.
Nine or ten.
Wow, I read, like, the first front and back of the page.
So you can't talk the rest of the
like
review.
A toddler. You didn't read the whole book. You can't review this.
You can review the first couple of short stories in it. Yes, I can.
And then we're screwed
okay.
From there.
No, our audience is, unfortunately. Okay. No, the next chapter was sort of... I can't remember.
That was the drunken robot, right?
Yes. Drunk on oil?
No.
No, drunken robot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I think
was.
So. He
yeah,
was. Had what, a conflict.
When,
It showed a flaw in the three laws.
And this is when...
When was this book produced?
57, I'm guessing. Okay. 52.
Apparently there is a short story from 1939.
42.
Okay. I'm just saying what it says. There's a short story from 1939 called iRobot, which I believe is what the movie is more based on, not the book.
Did you read the short story?
I'm reading the review of the short story.
Okay. Well, the reason why Matt brought that up is because within this collection, albeit kind of small, collection of these short stories that Isaac did to establish basically the three laws and what potential problems you could have with those three laws, there was a movie produced within the last 10 years or so that Will Smith was the star of called iRobot. And... In reading this book, I expected to read that movie, basically. Well, not that I was let down or anything, but the short stories that I read in the book were, like I said, they were the mental experiment of what could happen if robots were actual part of society.
It wasn't a wall-to-wall action story like the movie.
Right.
Oh, now I remember the movie.
Now, the short stories were stories that showed where the problems were.
Yeah. There was and they could emphasize and de-emphasize the laws generally.
Well, they weren't. The first ones weren't able to do that. In chapter two, they weren't able to do that. In chapter three, they were.
Are we ever going to start talking about chapter two?
No.
All I know is that the robot's drunk.
That's all you need to know.
Not really.
Drunk. That's the important part.
Did he get drunk off of oil?
He's
yes. That's exactly what it was.
He's not actually drunk.
Well, he had 10. He had 20 W50 instead of 10 W40.
Just like if he was drunk.
I agree.
No, it was the two laws were in conflict, and he was running back and forth.
He was was going in a big circle around.
He was in an endless loop.
Yeah, it was the... And it did have the altered, because the survival of the robot was...
He was supposed to obey his orders.
The first law... Yeah, the second law was the orders. And, oh, God.
But he had to preserve himself.
Half the chapter was describing this problem.
Yeah.
It was basically he had to perform the orders, mm-hmm. but he also had to preserve himself. And the stuff that he was supposed to get was in an area that would harm him. Yeah. So he would get so far, and then it would say,
run away.
Danger, danger, you're about to get killed. And he starts going back. Then he gets past that danger. Then, like Chris says, the endless
loop. The order.
Oh, I'm out of danger now. Now I got to perform the order.
Right, because the order that was given to him was given to him in a human, with human urgency, which, so it was conflicting because he had to basically save his life. The human said it in a way that made it sound like he was in danger. So the robot had to preserve itself too. So it was a whole mess.
So did the dude die?
No. They saved it, but they had to put one of the, there was two guys on this base on Mercury, and they realized that the only way they were going to get this robot back, because he was more valuable than the other robots, was to throw off the loop by basically one guy sacrifices himself to put himself in danger so that the robot would have to save him, ignoring what his other orders were.
The problem is they had brought another robot along to get over there in the first place.
Let me help you instead. No, I want the other one to help me, dang it.
And
so
that
was chapter two. And pretty much the rest of the book is going to be the same as that.
Nope.
All okay,
wow,
go ahead.
Cop out on it.
No, that's good. He actually...
All different.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's different.
Tell us about
the
it.
The third one, the cult the leader, right? No,
was
the fourth
the
one was the twirling fingers. The third one was the cult leader.
This is where a machine becomes a god.
You can twirl
that's right.
No,
I
just the high
that.
Priest.
I was mentioning
the high
that.
Priest. Okay, you're right.
The god was the little weird...
Master.
No, he didn't even get any... what's it called? Orders from it. He was just told that he was supposed to shield, protect, keep this thing running. After they showed him what to do, he...
This was on Mars,
was
right?
Getting... No, it was in a space station.
Oh, okay.
Philosophical thing the robot was.
It was basically they were providing an energy beam back to Earth to power part of the planet.
Yeah. The robot said that since the humans were weaker than the robots, they couldn't have created them, and it must have been a higher power or whatever, and the humans just thought it would. Then the Reapers would come and take their souls away or whatever. Not sure about that part. When they left, they were doing the space station thing perfectly well.
They didn't correct them at that point. They just said,
hey, it
you're
works.
Doing your job, so we'll just let you think that you're the high priest
power.
And we're just, dumb humans
thing.
That didn't make you.
Mm-hmm. But you have to obey every command I say?
No.
No.
That was the thing. This robot became his own independent thinker, and he said there was no way humans could make him.
A superior
machine
race or whatever. There's no way that an inferior race could make it a superior race.
And he basically became, and like Lowe said,
Skynet.
He becomes the priest. And
What is that from?
And that's
Terminator.
I was just thinking about Terminator, about how they should have put the Terminator story in this book. Oh, that's my...
Actually,
No.
Terminator's solution, Skynet's solution, is since the humans keep on
we're talking about
messing up, kill them all, right? That's Skynet's solution.
Hey, Chris.
Right, in the chapter.
Yeah, in the very last chapter of this book, it has something similar.
Really?
But back to the third chapter or whatever.
No. Chris, you know how I was thinking about Terminator and then you said something about it? That was my advanced mind telling your mind to say something about it.
Yeah, she's
because my mind is so advanced.
We're back on the advanced mind thing again.
But in essence, it's almost human frailty or human laziness at an extreme, because throughout the rest of these chapters, it's different problems that robots have, and the people, whether it's these two testers or scientist or whatever, they're finding quick ways to handle it instead of finding the proper way to handle it and correct
the actual solution.
Right, the actual solution. They said, well, let's do a quick fix here. They're working good enough. Let's leave them.
Duct tape.
Yeah, the next one was the twiddling your fingers thing.
Fishing line and gum.
Since the robot didn't have any orders for that
go ahead, Matt.
Moment, he just twiddled his thumbs, which were his little minion robots.
His thumbs are little minion
say paper
robots?
Clip.
Yes, they were.
Oh.
Actually, the opposite, but yeah, they were.
No.
All they had to do was shoot one of the six-finger thumb things.
And it started operating.
Yeah. Six thumbs?
I looked up on Wikipedia, and the movie iRobot, they do say, is loosely based off the book. It says loosely.
Well, but some of the three laws were the only thing they had in common.
No, some of the aspects, if you watch the movie, the computer became self-aware. You know,
like in Terminator.
Happens in this book. Wanted to not necessarily destroy humans, but wanted to protect humans from itself, thinking it was inferior. So there were aspects of it, sounds like, that were here that they did throw into that movie.
Right, there are aspects, but...
It says loosely.
Yeah, very loosely. But the very last, just to go to the very back part of the book, is where the question comes is, there's a guy basically kind of like running for president, and the question comes up, is he actually a robot? And nobody can actually prove it.
He's a Cylon.
Why don't they just cut him open?
Well, they don't want to do that. That's kind of...
Here, let me cut you open and see if you're alive or not.
It's not that big a deal. Like, slice open his arm. If he's a robot, it shouldn't matter. If he's human, they could just...
Terminators bleed.
They can sew it back up.
But one of the
ways... Yeah, but when he got his eye knocked out, you could see the robot.
But he never... Nobody ever saw him
drink. Can we amputate your eye to see if you're a robot?
let me gouge out your eye.
But the reason they thought he was a robot because nobody saw him eat, nobody saw him drink, nobody saw him really interacting with the opposite sex or same sex. And they were asking all these questions. The person, you know, dirty politics or whatever you want to call it, slinging the mud, saying, oh, he's done. How can you say he's not a robot? We don't see him doing all this. And it's basically he's getting sway with that just by on his words.
Just look for a power cord.
And, and this one lady that's scientist for in robotics, they bring in her to kind of talk to him. She said he's a human, but still they say no, he's not. And when push comes to shove, they try to make him hit somebody, because if he would hit somebody, that could show that he was human, because robots aren't supposed to strike another human. And what they came about, and everybody, and even when I read it sounded staged, was a guy insulted him or something, Logan, and he hit him in the face. And at the very end of the chapter, the lady was back with this supposed android or not, saying, well, we can't really say that that's a conclusive test either, because that could have been a robot too. So you actually hit a robot, not a human.
This is some bull crap right there.
I know, I see. But she never actually denies that he could be a robot. He's either a robot or a really good person.
Right. So it's all like you were saying, Chris, it's all about the philosophical blah, 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 philosophical thank you aspects of, will they take on characteristics of human, will they become their own mindset?
Yeah. And there was the sounds big brains that sent the test people out beyond the borders of the universe. They died for a few minutes.
The rope. The ship. Yeah. Right. They made a ship that was actually sentient, basically.
Oh, no, that wasn't the ship. That was the person back home operating it.
I thought it was a ship when I read it. That's just interpretation there.
So. Okay.
Sounds like it's interesting. But it was 1940-ish book.
Not for teens. I would say this is, well, they could probably...
They could read it, but...
16
did we go over the,
and older, maybe.
Did we go over the Skynet it had?
Self-aware.
In the very last chapter.
Oh, yeah, it did really kind of come into Skynet.
Well,
true.
Chris wouldn't know, because he didn't read that chapter.
They weren't killing
everybody.
Either did you.
They were just running
But
them.
It's not my review.
Like, yours was any better.
It was, because I actually knew all the facts.
Wow. Maybe a little.
You're just a fan
facts.
Girl.
Yeah, that's better than what you are.
We were worrying about April and Logan.
Do we need to separate the children?
Bye-bye, April.
You're not even 18, bud.
You're the only girl in the room.
Gotta give you a hard time.
Okay. Just gotta single you out.
Back into maybe teens, 16-ish, older teens.
Logan.
All the way up.
Logan, don't.
Just don't.
People are interrupting the speech of Skynet.
Okay, talk about your Skynet.
The robots were ruling the world, basically, telling the people what to do. Very few people didn't like that, but they were doing their little terrorist selections. The robots actually, what's the word?
I don't know.
Because you didn't read
compensated it. For that, just didn't tell them that they were.
In essence, they were, what was it? It's kind of like what he said. It was kind of like Skynet. They went from basically humans just pretty much threw up their hands and said, okay, you take care of us.
Yep.
You do what's best for us. Right. You're a superior being. Okay.
Because they've been doing that.
Sounds interesting.
From the very beginning, because they were questioning about this supercomputer. Because they were noticing shifts in productions in some of these feeding humans. And it was like, well, it's just the robots looking at all these analysis of who's eating what, who's dying, who's all this. And they're making slight adjustments because they see that population will grow shorter in this time period, so they're not producing as much. Then there'll be a growth, and they're producing a little bit more. So they said the robots had already been doing this for us, so they basically threw up their hands and said, okay, take care of us.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Interesting. And for a 40-something book, it was probably pretty advanced. Far out there for that. Mm-hmm. Extremely.
There was also a psychic robot.
Yep.
And the robot that hid amongst the others.
True. That was part of one of the chapters as well. Mm-hmm. Would you say anybody could read it, though, Chris?
Well, I don't know because I didn't read it all.
Exactly. So don't ask Chris. Ask Logan.
Richard, you read it, right?
Yes, I did.
What do you think, Dad?
What do you think, Logan? You think a teenager would read this? An average teenager.
And don't think of one of your dumb classmates. Because I know your class.
Wait a minute.
They're going to have to edit that out. I'm sure.
What?
That's not the been able to read this. Them.
No.
Because she has a superior
mind. No. Listen, I have such an advanced mind that it bored me to death. So that I couldn't read it or else I would die.
Bullshit. you have a little dog track on there.
We have a little dog track on there. That's what that was, yes.
Yeah, close enough. Okay, so anybody can read it.
Would anybody read it, you think, Logan, or somebody that's really steeped in science and science fiction?
It's pretty funny either way, so probably. The first chapter might take them to get through if they're not very high attention span, but after that, they're pretty funny.
I don't think it was meant to be a comedy, but thanks.
But Logan's they review are.
Comedy. Logan finds it comedic.
Robot cult.
And you kind of think of it, that is a little funny.
I would think that unless they really like science fiction or really hard science, it's going to be a difficult read.
Exactly.
I think it's more philosophical than it is science.
But they're dealing with the robots.
Which makes it
could be anything. It could be your dog who suddenly has intelligence.
But robots are just in general classified as science-y.
You're a robot.
Thank you. Means I'm smarter than
Let's
you.
Let's take out her eye to find out if she's a cyborg.
Okay.
But no, the philosophical questions I think will appeal to some, but I hate to do this. Kind of agree with April. It's the robot aspect. If they can make that hurdle.
My butt bone hurts.
Okay, that's enough of you.
Edit that out, please.
If they can jump over that hurdle that it's robots and science fiction, they would see the benefit of the book because it is asking some questions that are pertinent because, I mean, we're getting more and more dependent on technology as we're going every year almost. And so there are legitimate things, and it's almost like, you know,
your microwave has more processing power than your quartz watch.
Yeah.
What?
The microwave has more processing power than what they sent into space in the 70s. What do you mean?
True. But that's going to be the one hurdle. And I think most of the teenagers and even some adults, I don't know if they'd be able to make that hurdle. I think it's that stigma of science fiction and robots that, like we say about some other stuff.
Science fiction anymore.
Science fiction is getting better standing than what it had in the past. I mean, science fiction in the past was the comic books of today, really. So I can see in his time period, but if you have a kid that's playing sports and all that type of stuff, I don't think he's going to be interested. If you have somebody that's really into their classes.
He wouldn't be much interested in anything
true.
Else.
True. If you have kids that are really interested into their classwork and stuff, they'd probably read it. Girls, I don't know. They'd really have to be into the sciences, I think, and the philosophical
see, that is
stuff.
So
to me,
sexist.
I think it's such a waste, though. I think that it appeals to everyone more than it did back when the book was written.
True, and like we found out, you know, Jen loves old science fiction and loves science fiction right now, and there's more and more ladies that are saying, you know, this is cool stuff, and that is true. I have to agree with that, but I still see at this point it's still a little bit uneven you know, it's, you see April, she couldn't get into it.
But I'm not a nerd.
She didn't even give it a chance. She read two pages.
I'm not a nerd. Like, it bored me.
No. That's just the first chapter, April.
You have Logan. He's really steeped in mathematics and science, and he got into it. I'm not steeped in heavily like he is into that. The first story helped me.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have started with probably the second story, I probably wouldn't have finished it. It was the first story with a human interaction and that philosophical question of can a robot have feelings, that's what got me. And
you
because he leads with that, that'll get most people. But that second chapter is going to be that hurdle.
For me, the first chapter sucked.
Oh, really?
Because I like the space sci-fi.
Okay.
So I was able to get into the second one. But I read the first one all the way because it did. There was the human element in interaction in this whole falling in love with something that's inanimate. Because right. I love my computer, so I completely could understand. But it wasn't that entertaining.
See, I thought the opposite. I thought it was more entertaining than the others.
And that's why we do reviews.
Right, and I thought they were a little bit more colder than the first one.
Yeah.
And that's why I said if you're
robot April, aspect. This is how you do this is how you do a review. You're just so one-sided over there.
But my one-sided is right.
So do you.
So it don't matter.
Oh, my button didn't work.
But yeah, this would be one. If you have it in your collection, definitely keep it there. Most collections should have it, I would think. I don't see that most would.
It should be part of your. It should be. It's part of a core collection.
Right.
You say that.
Core collection.
Yes, thank you.
And if you don't have it, like I actually went through ours. And we have the Foundation series, but we didn't have iRobot. So evidently it got damaged enough, we deleted it, and replaced it yet. And I was like, oh, that's one I need to pick back up. Yeah, this is definitely one that most libraries, if they don't already have it, they, you know, like you say, core collection. And what we have coming up, we have a few comments, not necessarily emails, but comments on Facebook that we kind of like to talk about. We had my wife's putting in her voice to the show this way, evidently.
She doesn't want to talk to you directly?
No, Facebook.
That is a big no to her.
I had to put a few blogs on, and she occasionally will just do one word blurbs, and sometimes she'll do more. But some of the ones that she kind of had more interest in was the latest one that not according to the podcast, but one of the blogs I put up was about the live-action Rurouni Kenshin movie, and she's not very big into anime, and it was a manga and anime, and most of the anime and mangas are screaming, they're really loud. She does not like that, and one of the few series she did like was the Rurouni Kenshin, because it was more normal, you know, people talk, they didn't scream and holler and yell, and so she enjoyed that anime series. So when she found out there was a live-action movie coming out, she was kind of like, oh, this might be good.
It's hard not to scream and yell when you're doing karate.
True.
True. Yeah.
But even when they're not doing that, they tend to, some of them have really irritating voices. They're really high-pitched.
I gave a good example. Yelling.
Yeah. So there is on our blog, if you go back and look under Rurouni Kenshin live action, there was a trailer posted up there that you can look at. That'll probably hit the U.S. probably sometime early next year, because Warner Brothers did help out with the production of it, so it will definitely jump across to North American markets, I would expect.
Is this one like the Death Note and Gantz ones then?
Well, it's a live-action movie, yeah. Like the Death Note had a live-action movie, as well as anime and a manga, yeah. You have no clue what we're talking about.
No, I know what talking about. You just have no clue what I'm talking about. A live action
movie. Is that
movie?
The whole advanced brain thing again?
Yep.
Not quite.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you turned one of their movies into live action, it still would have not as
Matt,
much.
Matt, you don't
to
have
do
an advanced mind. Don't try.
Stuff to do it. But it would still be a movie. It would just be in live action instead.
Right.
The Death Note and, according to the Gantz as well, live action movies are actually the series translated into live action.
And until
that's what I was asking about.
I think it's more April. Of a loose adaptation. I don't know if it's going to follow every storyline in the series or not. Haven't seen it yet, but it's going to try to probably follow the first arc of the manga series. The other one she wanted us to kind of look at, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. I don't even know if the kids have seen it.
Is this part of the podcast?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
We had a blog about some trailers for the new...
Your advanced mind must have had a hiccup.
Really?
We had I zoned out.
We had a blog about the upcoming Arrow series for the CW, which is the Green Arrow series. And we had a couple of trailers on there. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
I've seen the trailers on TV. And I thought it looked interesting.
She kind of saw the first one that was really short. She's like, is this... She wasn't a fan of Smallville. She's like, oh, is this going to be drama again? All the high school kids and stuff. Seeing that trailer and then seeing the more extended trailer. I don't know if you've seen it, Matt, or if you guys...
I don't know which one I've seen.
It's more drawn out. It looks more adventure. There's going to be drama no matter what. That's part of a TV show that helps. But it looks like it's going to be what I blogged back or sent back as a comment was kind of like Supernaturals or Supernatural. It's going to have some of the drama, but there's going to be a lot of action in it too. And it's going to be a lot dirtier and crueler world than what Smallville was. Because he talks about in the trailer about taking people out. When he's saying taking people out, he's actually saying
by dirty, do you mean dark?
Right, darker.
Like in Dark Knight or...
Darker when he uses the arrows. I mean, he's using actual arrows, not trick arrows like Green Arrow, but it's actual arrowheads. And they did modernize Green Arrow like that in the comic books, where at one point he was a lot grittier and he used the hunting arrowheads and stuff. So, and one of the real quick clips that I kind of wanted to mention was, you guys won't know it unless you just really read the comic books. There's a character called Deathstroke, and he's a mercenary basically, and he's only has one eye. And his mask is
he
part,
the Terminator?
Is part dark blue and part orange. And in
Deathstroke?
Yes.
Deathstroke, and he has one eye.
Yep.
Okay.
And in the trailer, it has the mask of him on a stick, and it has one of the arrows going through the eyepiece on the blue side where he lost the eye. So they're actually bringing in another comic book character to the series, and looks like they're going to say that in this universe, he actually put the eye out on this person. So
that's a weird character to bring into it, since he's not
he's
the most popular.
He's usually not associated with Green Arrow either. So
no, he just wasn't. At least one point, take Green Arrow's apprentice as his own teammate type deal.
I think so. In the Young Justice or the Teen Titans.
Not
like
Teen
that.
Titans, but Titans. Titans.
So
Teen Titans are heroes. This Titans are, I'm pretty sure, mercenaries.
But this is one that you might want to give the pilot and maybe the first episode a shot. It looks kind of interesting. I could be completely wrong. You might check it out when it debuts this fall and see what it's like. And we might even later on, when it gets into DVD form, we might take a shot at reviewing it if Matt wants to.
It looks interesting. I'm going to have to try and catch it. Just to see if I can get into that one.
Okay. But that's pretty much it for this time. We appreciate everybody listening to us again. The next go around, we will be reviewing Free to Play, Play to Win, World of Tanks, Combat Arms, Lord of the Rings. So all the gamers out there, you'll want to be listening for that. And we will also be reviewing the graphic novels, the first two trades of Morning Glories. So join us again next time, and thank you all. Had another fun time.
Bye.
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 Yeehaw!
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.
Oh,